making their way to back to Children's Church. While they're doing that, I want to welcome you here to Bear Creek. Again, if you're a guest with us, we're so happy that you're here, and I pray that God will speak a word into your heart today and cause some things to change in your life. Amen. Let me share with you a couple of things that are coming up. Let me walk over here real quick. So our food ministry is kind of expanding. The one in, we call it Whiskey Flats. I'm the pastor of Whiskey Flats. How cool is that? But anyway, our food ministry there has been growing, and God has been using it to bless people. And now we're starting a second location right here in Crescent, across from the Sonic in downtown. Okay, right there across the street. It's a property that the fire department owns. And our first day there will be Saturday the 27th. And here's what we're doing. The name of our ministry, our outreach ministry, is Here to Serve. We just want people to know that when we're out, we're just here to serve, okay? And so we have these bags at the Connection Center, and you can pick one up when you leave. But there's some instructions on the back of the bag of some of the items that we need, which includes clothes and hygiene items and food. And so if you can pick one up and fill that up and at any time bring it back, we're going to be continuing this and throughout the year. And hopefully it'll just take off and it'll help us stay properly supplied so we can help families in need. Sound good? Amen to that. And we just praise the Lord of the work that he's doing through that ministry. I see great things as we continue to reach out to those families, so praise the Lord for that. Well, we're continuing a sermon series called Finding Your Sweet Spot, and let me share this story with you. A man went to see a doctor for these symptoms that he was having, and the doctor, he ran several tests on the man to just figure out what was going on. When the test results came back, the doctor called the man into his office and sat him down, and the man says, "Well, what's the news, doc? Is it serious?" "And I'm sorry," the doctor said, "but your illness is terminal." "Well, tell me, doctor, how long have I got left?" 10, said the doctor. 10 what? 10 years? 10 months? 10 weeks? 10 days? The doctor replied, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Time is short. Life is short. And here, in the here and now that we live in is an opportunity for us to live and be the people that God has called us to be. This is an opportunity. God has given us this short span of time. And so in light of that, here's the question. What will be your specific contribution in this generation? You know, God, just think, God, he didn't put you in the 1800s to live in that generation. He didn't put you in the 1600s to live in that generation. He put you in the here and now, in this moment, in this small sliver of time that you have. And what will be your contribution in this generation, in this span of time? Well, and how will you use your unique gifts and your unique abilities to impact the world around you and the people around you, your community, your friends, your family? Well, today we're going to take a look at a parable that Jesus shares. The word parable is it literally means to cast alongside, and these are stories. They're stories that are cast alongside of a truth. In order to illustrate that truth. And so Jesus would use these stories, these parables, and attach them to a truth that he is trying to convey or trying to teach. And so turn with me. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 24, and also early on in chapter 25, Jesus tells his followers, he says, "Look, I'm leaving. but I will return. And what he's talking about is his second coming, the second coming of Christ. We have not seen the second coming of Christ yet to this day. But he assures his followers that one day he will return. And in chapter 24, verse 42, he says, no one will know the day or the hour. And he shares a story of 10 virgins. Five were foolish and did not prepare for the kingdom. And the five others were wise, and they prepared for the kingdom. Then in chapter 25, verse 13, he reiterates this, and he says, no one will know the day or the hour. And so with this in mind and with these warnings in mind, Jesus then begins to share this parable that we're going to look at today, this story. He says, starting in chapter 25, verse 14, you're going to see it here right behind me on the screen. He says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And so look how he starts this parable. He says, it will be like. And so what he's saying is, I'm going away and I will return. He says, you won't know the day or the hour. And this whole event, when I go away, it's going to be like a man who is going on a journey. And he entrusts his property to his servants. So the man here in this story, this parable, is obviously Jesus. It's obviously the Lord. And these servants represent believers. They represent Christians. They represent you and me, those who have put their trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. And so the message Jesus is conveying here is, I am going away. I will return. And you won't know the day or the hour that I come, but I'm leaving you as stewards, as managers of the property. And then he goes on, he says this, verse 15, to one of these servants, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. So here he is distributing these talents in different measures to each of the servants. One of them gets 5, one gets 2, and another one gets 1. And notice they each receive different portions of these talents according to their ability. It was what they could handle. He distributes these talents. Now watch how this plays out. Verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. Verse 17, so also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. Verse 18, but he who received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So this guy just buries his talent. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so now here's the master, and he's come and he's returned, and he intends to settle the account. And in other words, he wants to know how they stewarded these talents, this money that he has given them while he was away. Verse 20, look at this. And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I have set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So the master is very pleased with that servant. Verse 22, and he also had the two... he also, who had 2 talents, came forward and saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I have set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And although these servants didn't earn as much as the first one, this servant didn't earn as much as that first guy did, his reward was the same. His reward was the same. Verse 24. He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering what you scattered when you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground where you have what is yours. And so the third servant, he perceived his master as being harsh, right? He was afraid. So out of fear, he did the only thing he knew, and that was bury his talent. And I'll tell you, I don't think he really was afraid. I just think he was sort of self-centered and just wanted to kind of do anything with the talent that the master had given. Verse 26 says this, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful or lazy servant, you knew I reap where I do not sow, I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so here's this third servant. He was given one talent. You had one job, right? You had one job. And he buries it. He hides it away. And this story is playing out, listen, every day in your life and in my life. It's playing out every day. God has given each of us talents and abilities, and he has gone away, and he will return one day. What are you doing with your talents and abilities? So the question is, what will you do with those abilities that he has given to you? What will you do with those talents? This parable, it conveys to us or highlights to us the tragedy of a wasted life. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are to do all things for his glory. So we're blessed with these talents. What are you going to do with these talents? What are you going to do with these abilities? And so last week we talked about sort of the purpose, why God has put us here, the general purpose for every believer, every person who has put their trust in Christ has a purpose, has a general purpose. But we also have a unique purpose that he's given to each of us, a unique purpose, a unique function, unique gifts that he has bestowed upon all of us. But last week, again, the general purpose, our general purpose on earth, we found and looked at scripture, is number one, is to give glory to God. That means to make him look magnificent in the way that we live. We give him credit, we give him honor, we give him all the glory, and all the things that we do is a reflection of him. And so we make sure we do them well. We make sure we do them where they are pleasing to him and they bring glory to him. Let your light so shine before man, scripture says, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so our purpose as believers, number one, is to bring glory to God. Number two, it's to build up the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is the church. It's the people, the body of believers. It's universal. That means all around the world. There's believers in India and China and Africa and South America. But it's also the local church. And our job, our giftings, are to help us to build up each other. Scripture says, love one another, encourage one another. It says, build one another up, bear one another's burdens. And so what we do is we share, we build others up. That's one of our general purposes as believers. And then finally, our third purpose, general purpose, is to advance God's kingdom by taking the gospel to the far corners of the world, to take the gospel in our community, to make sure our family understands the gospel. Look, we have the cure for cancer. We have the cure for sin, which is more deadly than cancer. It will take every person's life. We have that cure. And so our job is to take that cure to the world and to believe it and to own it and to realize the importance and the significance of that task. There's this great quote. It says this: the difference between an ordinary day and an extraordinary day is not so much what you do, but for whom you do it. It's the why behind why am I doing this? So we have a general purpose, but we also are blessed with unique purposes. We are blessed with unique gifts and abilities and talents to accomplish our temporary assignment on earth. You know, the day that you were born on this earth, that is a temporary assignment. You will be here for a small measure of time. And so from this parable, we know God has given all of us a measure of talents, a measure of abilities. And some people are good at, relationships and working with people. Some people have physical talents and abilities, athleticism. Some are gifted intellectually, right? Some are very creative. Some love to design things. Some are good listeners. Some are good speakers. And so that we can go on and on and on. There's a plethora of abilities and things, these natural abilities that we are born with when we come into this earth. So think about this. God has given every creature special abilities. You think about all the little critters that crawl around. There's those that crawl. There's some that run. There's some that burrow holes. There's some that live in the water and swim. And each of these things, all of these kind of characteristics lend to the purpose of why he created them. I mean, a flower has purpose. And maybe that purpose is beauty, right? But it's also so the bee can fly over and get some of the pollen, right, and take it back and make some honey. And so there's purpose going on all around us. Why wouldn't you have purpose? If everything around us has purpose, why wouldn't you? He has given you a general purpose, and he has given you a unique purpose in this world. I love Star Wars. How many of y'all are Star Wars fans? You out there? Okay. And in episode one, there are these, and you're going to see this on the screen here. There's the battle droids. You remember the battle droids? You can see that out there. It's kind of dark. But these battle droids are like these droids, these robots that are, their only purpose is to aim and fire, okay? And if you remember the movie, they weren't very intelligent. They were just set to fall off the ship, go march forward, aim and fire. Well, these things were duplicated and cloned, and they all had the exact same purpose. Look, we are not droids. We are not robots. God has given us a uniqueness. In Psalm 139:14, it says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of us, every one of us. God created you with purpose in mind. So think about this. It's a good analogy. Think about an architect who designs a building. He first asks, what will its purpose be, right? How will this building be used? And then he assigns it its unique features. So God created you with purpose in mind. He designed you with purpose in mind. And so when we go back to the passage in verse 14, chapter 25, verse 14, he says, he is like a master who has gone away on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted them his property and gave each of them a measure of talents. It's just like what he did with us. And we have to understand that God is not wasteful. He doesn't waste opportunity. He doesn't waste a life. He made you for a reason. And it's up to you to figure out how he designed you and for what reason. So you have to realize only you can be you. Why did he create you? Have you asked yourself that? What has he done? How has he uniquely designed you? Remember last week in Ephesians chapter 2, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do these good works. He has given us these talents. He has given us these abilities to do good works. And listen, the abilities that you are strong in are pointing you to your purpose, to God's will for your life. They are clues, and they help you to understand what God's will is for you on this earth. And so when you realize one day that, hey, I'm no Michael Jordan, right? I'm not good at playing basketball, then that's probably a good hint that you shouldn't spend the rest of your life, right, trying to be in the NBA if you're not geared that way, okay? I'm terrible at math, okay? Kimberly Seifert's really good at math, okay? I can probably achieve some decent work at math, but I'm not going to spend my life working mathematical equations, okay? Because it's not how God has engineered me. And so what we do, and I mentioned this last week, we always tell our kids, you know, you can do anything you want, okay? But look, here's what we need to do. We need to find out how God has uniquely talented them, what unique abilities God has given to them, and help them in that area. And we need to be able to celebrate those who have unique abilities that are different than ours, okay? And sometimes what we do is we take these unique talents and abilities and we get all puffed up with pride, thinking that that we have arrived and that we have done something special. It is God. And he has given you those abilities for his purpose. And so turn with me just real briefly. We're going to look at Exodus all the way back. Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, okay? In chapter 31:1, I want to show you something kind of neat here. So this is Moses, and he's on the top of Mount Sinai, and he's receiving a word from God. This is where God gives him the Ten Commandments. This is right before he comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments in his hand. You remember the movie, right? And so God is speaking to him, and it's not just the Ten Commandments he's giving him. He's saying, look, you will build a tabernacle that will house the Ten Commandments. You'll build this ark, which is a container that the Ten Commandments go in. And he's giving them all these specifics. And so he says this in chapter 31, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship. So the reason I wanted to zero in on this is to show you how God uses our natural abilities for his glory. This is what he's doing with Bezalel. He says, look, when you go down from this mountain, I've already prepared this man Bezalel to help build everything that I want to build, to help build this tabernacle, to help build this ark. And so, it says that God filled him with the Spirit of God. He empowered him with God's Holy Spirit. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would be put on a person and then pulled off of a person. We see this with King David. We see this with Solomon. We see this with King Saul. And so, here is in this part of scripture, we see Bezalel, the Spirit of God, comes upon him. God empowers him for his work. Now, as believers In the New Testament, we find that when we trust Christ as Lord and Savior, we're sealed with His Holy Spirit, right? His Holy Spirit resides in us and fills us where we're empowered to do the work, God's work. And it is a permanent resting. You are permanently sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are empowered, just like Bezalel is empowered here. And so he goes on and he says that he has given him ability. And the Hebrew word there means wisdom and wit and skill. He has given them understanding, which means intelligence and discretion. He has given them knowledge, which means wittiness and awareness. He has given them craftsmanship, which means ministry, occupation, labor. And so he's given them all of these skills and abilities to prepare him for the task that God has for him. And look, he's done this for you. He's done this for you. Next week, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are unique. It's for every believer. When you come to know Christ, God gives you a spiritual gift for the work of ministry. And we'll be talking about that. But right now, we're talking about these natural abilities you're born with at birth. So where is God leading you with your natural ability? What service is God calling you to? What ministry, what contribution is God intending to make through you to this generation? How can you utilize these gifts, these abilities, these skills to build up the body of Christ, to bring glory to God, to advance His kingdom? How can you do that? Have you thought about that? Have you looked at your abilities? Have you looked at your skills? Have you looked at the things that you're good at? And have you asked this question, Lord, how can I use these things that you have given me to use these things for your glory? And I think a lot of us, and I know I was like this at the very beginning of my Christian walk, a lot of us, we can't imagine what part we could ever play in this. And we don't want to be one of those overly religious fanatics. I know I didn't when I was younger. I kind of feared that, you know. I remember we had this family that lived down the street, and the dad wore his pants up to about here, and I knew that they were Christians and stuff, and so that was kind of how I pictured it. And I was like, I don't want to be a guy like that, okay? So we have all these images in our head that are just wrong, and it doesn't mean that you have to be the Pope of Crescent or the Archbishop of Granbury to be a part of this. It means that you just have to be willing, and you have to understand that God has equipped you. He has gifted you with these natural abilities for His glory, to be used for Him, to be used for His kingdom work. It means the Master has left you as a steward of His property for this temporary time that you are here. He has given you these abilities, these gifts. You are to use these abilities for His purpose. And if we hide them, or if we use them only for our selfish purposes, we are like the steward, we were like this servant who buried the talents in this story. See, we all have a role. And some of us are good with our hands. Maybe some of us are good at just talking with people, counseling people. Maybe we're musical. Some of us are good at design and decorating and different things. Some know how to comfort people in their time of need. Whatever it is, what can you use? How can you use that thing that you know you're good at, that other people have affirmed, and that you know that, look, I'm pretty good at this because I see that a lot of people around me don't have this kind of gift, what are those things? How can you pull those things together and give it focused attention for God's glory? I know, and I've shared this before, I've struggled for so long because I've spent so much time. Here I am, I'm 48 years old, okay? And I have spent the majority of my life giving all my attention to my weaknesses, okay? being so frustrated with my weaknesses that I want this ability and I want what that person has and I want the skill that that person has and I want to develop that. And so what I'll do is I'll pour all my time and energy into my weaknesses instead of pouring my time and energy into the talents and the abilities that God has given me. What a tragedy that is to spend that long. And listen, young people, don't waste your life doing it. Don't waste your life doing it. So he has blessed us. And the question to ask yourself is, what is my assignment? And what gifts has he given me for my assignment? You know, since your natural abilities and these talents came from God, they can be just as important as your spiritual gifts. They can be. Natural abilities are given at birth. Spiritual gifts, what we'll be starting and talking about for the next couple weeks, are given at the point of salvation. And you might be thinking, I have very few talents. Well, don't think that. I read a study this week in preparing for this, and research has shown that the average person has about 500 to 700 talents and abilities. And this ranges from special kind of discernment to personality, certain personality traits, to skills and abilities. Look, God has given you your unique skills and abilities. I pray you won't waste it. And look, the time is never, it's never too late. We know time is going by, but it is never too late to get on board with this. We look at scripture. I think about the Apostle Paul. Did you know the Apostle Paul was a tent maker too, okay? So before his conversion, before he came to know Jesus, he was a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, right? But he also, his trade, how he would earn money, was he made tents. Well, we find in the book of Ephesians, how the Ephesian church was planted as Paul went into this town, and he led Priscilla and Aquila, two tent makers, to Christ. Now, how did he do that? Well, probably because he had the same trade, right? And he came to know them. He shared Christ with them. He led them to Christ. He didn't just lead them to Christ, but they began to build that church there in Ephesus. And so we see stories like this, how God has used these unique abilities and talents for through people who are willing, who are open. Not the ones that bury it, but the ones that are open, the ones that are willing to invest, the ones that are serious about this, the ones that are intentional and engaged. Did you notice in the parable, it says every servant had to give an account. And one day I think all of us are going to have to give an account for the gifts and the talents that God has given to us. What have you done? While I was away, the Lord will say, what have you done during that time when I wasn't there on this earth? What did you do with the talents that I have given you? Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We will all stand before him one day. I want you to look at this on the screen. You might want to write this down. You are uniquely talented for the assignment God has for you. And my encouragement for you today is to maximize those talents, maximize those strengths. When you think about the servant who buried his talent, you don't want to be like that. Listen to this quote by Michelangelo, the great painter, the great artist. The greater danger of most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that our aim is too low and we reach it. So the big threat is not that, you know, well, these are lofty goals and then darn, I've missed it, but that we set the bar so low that we come under the bar and we actually can meet that. And the last thing that we want to do is to spend this time on earth as wasted time. Our there's nothing greater. There is nothing greater than God's glory. For every believer in here, your highest value, if your highest value is not Christ, there's something out of place in your walk with the Lord. So where can we start? Let me wrap up by just sharing this. Well, number one, make sure your foundation is Christ. Keep him first above all things. Build that relationship. Come to know him more. The closer you'll get to him, the more you'll get to know him, and the higher you'll value him. The more distant you are, the more disobedient you will be, and the more dry your faith will be. Closeness to God, closeness to his word, develops relationship. Distance from his word develops disobedience, and it keeps feeding that disobedience. And there have been times in my early walk as a Christian where I almost had a disdain. I almost had a disdain for different things of God, prayer, his word, okay? Don't get that distant. Don't get that distant from him. So your foundation is Christ. Number two, don't forget your general purpose as every believer. Give glory to God. Keep him high and magnified. Make him look great. Let his light shine through you. Build up the body of Christ. Look, we have to build each other up. There's enough tearing people down, and the body of Christ should be building each other up. I should appreciate Emma's gift, and I should appreciate the giftings of our young people. I should appreciate the giftings that you have. And I should come to you if you have a spiritual gift, let's just say of administration, okay? And I don't. I should be able to come to you in humility and say, help me with this, right? So we help each other and we believe in the giftings inside of each other and the talents inside of each other. And then number four, the last one, find ways to use those talents for God's purpose. Find ways to use those abilities for God's purpose. And so again, for the next 2 weeks, we'll talk about spiritual gifts. We'll take a look. I'm going to try to make my way through all the spiritual gifts, so it'll take about 2 weeks. But I don't think you're going to want to miss this, because I'll tell you, to me, there's nothing more important in activating this church and helping. Like I said, I can't wait for the day that this little metal building on the side of Highway 377 in a small town called Crescent begins to really change the world. And we do this through our giftings, and we do this through staying focused on our purpose. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. And Father, I just praise you for the work you're doing through this church, seeing people come to know you, meeting needs in our community, reaching out. I look forward to the day, Lord, that you help us in new, fresh ways, enhance and develop our giftings and abilities, Lord. We give you praise for this day. I pray for that person in here who has been so distant from you. I pray for that person here who has no relationship with you. I pray that today's message sparks something in their heart that will start something new and begin to grow them and move them closer to you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.